time for Two Guys Weigh In podcast with Paul Ramo and Mitchell Silty. And Mitchell, what episode is this?
This is episode 15.
15 weeks in a row. We haven't missed yet, have we?
I don't believe so.
And your internship is completed at KOQB Radio, but we're going to continue on. Is that the decision we made, right?
Yep, I think so. Over the summer, at least, we're going to give it a go, trying to keep up with the podcast episodes every week. So
that's right. And it's sponsored by
TK Egan's of Canby.
That's right. Best pizza around. We always say that every week.
Yep.
And we're not just saying that.
No, we truly mean it, that it's the best pizza.
And what's your favorite pizza again?
I get an all-meat one. Pepperoni, bacon, sausage, and Canadian bacon.
Okay, mine's the Polish sauerkraut. There's a name for it. I can never remember the name. But anyway. Well, this is a special podcast because we're on the road today. We took our podcast on the road.
Yeah, but it's the second time we've taken it on the road.
And we are sitting in a Minnesota Viking man cave owned by Brian McKean. And Brian joins us again for the second time on the podcast. Thanks for inviting us over, Brian.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
What a tour you just gave us in your man cave here.
Yeah, I hope you liked it.
We did, didn't we, Mitchell?
Absolutely. This stuff is cool.
A lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And your wife's good at this, huh?
Well, she tolerates it.
Well, we had Brian on a couple weeks ago, didn't we, Mitchell?
Yep, we had him on, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
From PK Egan's.
Yep, and we talked about the pre-draft news for the Vikings, and now we got him on to talk about post-draft news. So.
That's right. We want to get Brian's thoughts on the NFL draft, and it was a good draft, wasn't it, Brian?
It was. It was exciting. First 10, 12 picks were exciting.
It was. And, well, I know who you wanted, so let's should we just dive into it first?
Sure. Might as well just dive right into it.
Let's dive into the NFL draft here with Brian McKean here in Canby. Brian, your overall thoughts on the draft then?
I thought it turned out well. I was hoping for Drake May, but Patriots wouldn't budge. They tried, but they wouldn't budge.
You think the Vikings would have moved up to get him?
That's what I read, that they did offer number 11, 23 in next year's first. For the number three, but they wanted two mid-round picks in return. So, Patriots said no.
They said no.
Yep.
So what did the Patriots end up doing?
They took Drake May.
And then they didn't have to move, right?
No, nope. They just stayed at three and took Drake May.
You think that's who they wanted?
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't think it's going to be a good fit for him because they have nothing.
Nothing to.
They have no
O-line.
They have no receivers. They have nothing. Don't.
You think they'll put him out there right away? What other quarterback did the Patriots
have?
They
got Jacoby Brissett, and I think they also drafted another quarterback. Yeah. Let me check here.
Okay.
He'll probably start.
He will.
At least early, fairly early on.
And the quarterback last year with them, he got pummeled.
Yeah.
He was a draft pick, too.
Mac Jones.
Mac Jones, yeah.
He wasn't very good.
And Mac Jones went where again?
He's in Jacksonville. He's backing up Trevor Lawrence now.
Okay. So the Patriots needed a quarterback, didn't they?
Yep. They drafted Drake May, and then in the sixth round, they drafted Joe Milton out of Tennessee.
Quarterback, okay. Wow.
I mean, they needed a quarterback, but I just thought maybe they would take some of these picks to help build the roster.
Yep, that's right. The NFL draft is probably one of the most exciting drafts since Trevor...
Lawrence?
Lawrence and the Marshall kid.
Oh, yeah.
Trey Lance. Thank you. Had a brain fart there. Trey Lance and that group, it was really exciting. So, it was a lot of fun.
He's down in Texas, Dallas now.
Yep, backing up.
Dak Prescott.
Is he third string or second string? I think he's down.
He's probably second string now.
Okay, well, I'll see what he can do, Trey Lance. All right, what did you think about the Vikings pick? Let's start with you, Mitchell.
I thought I was very pleased with all their picks that they were able to make. I like J.J. McCarthy. I like that we didn't have to – well, I'm a little bummed that we had to move up one spot to get him. I was kind of hoping since we didn't move up to get May that we could just stay at 11 and have that work out. But then when the Falcons took Michael Penix at 8, I think – sense of urgency set in, and so they made the deal with the Jets to move up one spot and get McCarthy, which, I mean, I wanted McCarthy or May, so I think that worked out pretty well for them.
So the Jets were ahead of the Vikings, right? And the Vikings thought the Jets would take McCarthy?
No, they thought either the Raiders or the Broncos were going to move up.
Oh, to get McCarthy.
Yep. So they wanted a sure thing, so they moved up. one spot. I think they had to give up two picks for that.
Yep, they gave up the first, and then they gave up a fourth and maybe a fifth, I believe.
For next year?
No, for this year.
Oh, yeah. For this year, okay.
Yep. And then, because all six of those quarterbacks, I think, were taken in the first 12.
Out of the first 12 picks were quarterbacks.
So.
You got them? Let's go through the top 10 or top 12 picks in the NFL draft this year, because it was pretty exciting, and it was really exciting for me, because I was at U.S. Bank Stadium for a draft party, the Viking draft party. We'll talk about that in a little bit. That was really fun, and you got the top picks there?
Yeah, I got them here on my phone. So number one overall was Caleb Williams, quarterback out of USC to the Bears, Chicago Bears.
No surprise there.
No, nobody.
No.
I think the first four picks or five picks were all pretty much who people thought they were with no trades, but... Number two overall was Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU to Washington, the Commanders. He's the Heisman winner this past season.
That's going to be interesting to see how that works out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Washington does with him. Hopefully they can get somewhat better production out of their quarterbacks. But number three was Drake May, the quarterback out of North Carolina. He went to New England, the Patriots, to be their face of the franchise over there. Number four was Marvin Harrison Jr., receiver at Ohio State, going to Arizona. Number five was...
Who's throwing to him, then? Who's the
Kyler coach? Murray.
Kyler Murray, yeah, that's right.
And then number five, Joe Alt, the Totino Grace product.
Minnesota boy.
Big Minnesota boy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And his dad...
Dad played for the Chargers, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep. So he gets to play for the Chargers now. He was drafted fifth overall. He's a tackle out in Notre Dame.
That was a good pick.
Yep, I think he'll do well. Herbert will really like that pick, so... Malik Nabers was selected number six overall, a receiver out of LSU to the New York Giants. That was a little bit of a surprise, I think, for most. I think a lot of people were starting to think the Giants were going to take a quarterback.
That's what I was worried about. I thought they were going to maybe take McCarthy. But...
and they picked
Malik Nabers, the receiver.
Okay, receiver.
So they all in.
What do the Giants got for quarterback again?
Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Former Duke quarterback, I believe.
Yeah, he was with them last year, right?
Yep.
Yep. Didn't do well. Got booed a lot, I remember that.
Paid him a lot of money for two games against the Vikings.
Yep.
Threw for about 800 yards in two games.
Against the Vikings?
Yeah.
That was
2 years ago.
The worst defense in the league.
Because we played them that Christmas Eve and then 2 weeks later in the playoffs.
Yep. Of course, we couldn't beat him in the playoffs.
I remember that now.
Yep. And then he got I don't know how much he got, but...
He got a big contract.
After that.
Yep.
Then he went downhill.
Now they're regretting it.
Yep. Really regretting it. Kind of like the Vikings with the Kirk Cousins deal with the money and the finances. But the number seven was J.C. Latham, a tackle out of Alabama. He went to Tennessee. And then probably the biggest surprise of the first round, if not the draft, was number eight, Michael Penix Jr., quarterback out of Washington, going to Atlanta, the Falcons.
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Brian, your thoughts on that first?
I mean, I see
that. Why did they do that?
They're trying to follow the Packers route, I think. Just have a guy sitting, ready, waiting. But when you give $100 million to Kirk Cousins and then you don't do anything to help his roster, I don't know.
I say when you guarantee that much money, you're going to...
A little questionable move, but...
Say, if Penix ends up outperforming Kirk, then you have a, $100 million quarterback on your bench. So it's a little...
I told Mitch coming over here, Brian, I don't think Cousins can get hurt again. I mean, he's old, but he's getting up there. And
I think they said he'll...
How old is he?
36.
36, and then I think he turns 36 this offseason, right?
But really, it's just a good insurance policy with Penix, isn't it?
Cousins wasn't happy, I heard, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, he was a little flustered
Well,
after
I think he was unhappy because he wasn't informed ahead of time that was going to happen, so...
And I don't know if that was their plan going in to take Penix or if it's just the way it fell. But
ugly, didn't it?
Yeah.
They put out a video of the general man, because I think this is the first year GM for the Falcons, and he had to explain to the owner why it was a smart idea for them to take Penix at the pick.
I saw that video.
Pretty good. So he better hope that pans out for him, otherwise his tenure will be short in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then number nine overall, the Bears picked again. They had selected Rome Odunze, receiver out of Washington, and so got Caleb Williams, a good receiver. So the Bears, I think they got, who was the receiver they got from? Is it DJ Moore?
Yeah.
From the Panthers back then when they traded away the first overall pick.
Okay,
The Bears got a decent receiving core now for their new quarterback. So, and then number 10, the Vikings selected J.J. McCarthy, QB out of Michigan. And so the new era of Vikings football officially begins with J.J. and this year. So
he seems really excited to be a Minnesota Viking, doesn't he, Brian?
He wanted to come here, I guess. So this is a dream place. So.
Well, he's from where he played. I don't know where he's from originally, but he played at Michigan, so this was probably the closest team.
Yeah. He wanted to be in the Midwest.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
And do you think he's a good fit for the Vikings?
I think so. I don't know if we'll see him play this year or not, but I'd like to see him sit for a year. But
yeah, and learn from
and how it plays out. But
yeah, it's because I believe he's only 21.
Yep, just turned 21 in January. So
that's
he's young.
So it'd be great if
like Penix is almost 25, I think.
Yeah, he was one of the older ones
because
he played all. I think he got 5-6 years out of college, and he had injuries too, so that gave him extra years. And
all right, here's my experience at U.S. Bank Stadium. I'm on the field by 8,000-10,000 people, and the big screen had Cadell up with some family that lost somebody in the war or something like that. And I took a great video of myself, and then the little kid said, J.J. McCarthy. I mean, there was a roar at U.S. Bank Stadium. You wouldn't believe. It was so exciting. I don't know if you saw my video
on
that.
Yes, I did. Yep.
It was just amazing feeling, just fun. But on the other hand, when Atlanta took Penix, that was almost a louder roar because people were so shocked.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
Yeah. So
yeah, it was. I don't know why they did that, but
so who's in the quarterback rosters for the Vikings so far? Then
Sam Darnold, J.J. McCarthy, and Nick Mullins.
Oh, Nick Mullins is still around. Isn't he your favorite guy? And Jared Hall.
Yeah. Yep.
Jared Hall is still around.
Yep. I like Mullins. I mean, he's just a turnover machine, but he can sling the ball.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Hall was still around.
Yeah.
Well, he was a rookie. What was it? 2 years ago.
Yeah, had a couple good games, didn't he? Last year?
Well, he got hurt right away.
Yeah.
So he had a great first drive against Atlanta, and then he got a concussion trying to score
right.
a touchdown. And
then he came back against Green Bay, and that lasted, about a quarter?
Because he played so bad?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, they got quarterbacks in the room then.
Yeah, one of those guys would be the odd man out, but
okay,
probably Mullins, maybe.
Oh, really? Who's the quarterback coach for the Vikings, do you know?
Josh McCown.
Yep,
oh, that's
Josh
right.
McCown, yep.
That's
he
right.
was the he was associated a lot with Drake May, so that's why a lot of people thought the Vikings would move up and get him, but it didn't pan out that way. And I almost hope that they keep Nick Mullins over Jaren Hall, but that probably won't happen. But
oh, we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how that all.
Are you going
out,
up to training camp, Brian?
Probably will. Yep.
All right. Well, if you're just tuning in, Two Guys Weigh In podcast, Paul Ray and Mitchell Silty. We're in Brian McKean's Viking Man Cave here in Canby, and it is just absolutely impressive, amazing. I can't find any other words to describe it, Mitchell. What do you think?
It's definitely the coolest man cave I've ever seen, but yeah.
We're going to talk about that man cave more, but I know, Brian, you got a lot of notes there in front of you. What do you want to tell us about the NFL draft?
Well, then another kind of surprise, they moved up from 23 to 17. Get Dallas Turner, so that was kind of a...
Dallas Turner.
Yeah, he's an edge rusher from Alabama.
Oh, the
Probably
Vikings.
Probably the best defensive player in the draft, maybe.
He was the section player, defensive player of the year in the SEC, wasn't he?
SEC?
Yep.
So I think I heard a lot of people say that this is probably the best athlete on the defensive side in the draft this year, and so...
Oh, that's when McConnell's face...
Yeah, the little told them they were getting Turner. So.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I love his face.
Yep.
It's like he was like shocked.
But a lot of people think they gave up too much to move up. So
they gave up.
If you figure what they took to get the 23rd and to move up, they gave up a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth round pick.
Oh,
looking it up, the Vikings only have.
Three picks next year.
As of right now, they have their first rounder, and they have 2 fifth rounds. There's talk that they'll get a compensatory third rounder because of the Cousins deal, and then there's a chance that if they find tampering or anything, they could get a little bit more. And then they maybe had a conditional seventh round pick from a trade way back when, but they weren't sure if that had been the conditions had been met for that. So yeah, they're going with about 3 or 4 potential picks right now.
You like Turner?
I do. I think it was a great pick. I don't really care about giving up draft picks, I guess.
Yeah. So the Vikings do have a number of first-round draft pick next year then.
Yep. They were able to keep their first, which is huge.
What slot is that?
That won't be determined until the season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So if they're bad, it could be another top 10 picks. So.
Mm-hmm. And they do have...
they're not going to be bad.
I hope not, but that's why I didn't want to give that away, because if they are bad, it'd be a top 10 pick.
Okay.
And so I think they also, now that the Cousins is gone and we don't have his contract anymore, they have about 100 or plus $150 million in cap space for next offseason.
I don't understand the cap space. Do you? Do you understand it?
Pretty much.
Oh, you do?
All of it,
okay.
But they do have some dead cap money from Cousins, but...
Yeah, so next offseason probably more of a free agency than a draft thing.
Okay, good. So I won't be going to the draft party next year then.
Well,
it's not going to be exciting.
Well, if they have
go for a first
pick.
Rounder. But,
okay.
Yeah.
What else you got there, Brian?
Oh, just saw their draft picks. They had, what, 2, 4, 7 draft picks
mm-hmm.
total. So
any surprises? Or go through them.
Well, you had J.J. McCarthy and Turner in the first round, and then you had Kyrie Jackson, the corner out of Oregon. It was okay. I don't know a ton about him. And then Walter Rouse took O-lineman from Oklahoma. Sounded like he could maybe play guard. I don't know. And then my favorite pick probably of the whole draft is the kicker.
The kicker, I was going to say, the kicker.
Yep. Kicker out of Alabama, he's the highest.
You never draft kickers and punters, do you?
Well, we did. Last time we did, we took Carlson and cut him 3 games later. And he goes to Vegas and doesn't miss a kick.
Yep, thanks a lot to Mike Zimmer for getting us in that position.
But I think that was a good pick.
Well, he holds some records or something like that.
Most points, yep. And then I looked it up in his career, he was 84 of 100 on field goals. So he's only missed 16 field goals out of 100. So that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And last year was 5 from 5 from over 50.
From over 50?
Yep.
They said he was very accurate, you know, pretty much automatic from 40 and in, I think.
And he's missed 2 extra points in his career.
Oh.
295 out of
297.
So.
Oh, wow. Well...
Our kicker is good for that one game, 2 miss extra points.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is a good pick, Ben.
Yeah, I like that pick.
I think when I heard him interviewed, he was really happy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait to kick
at
USC.
Kick indoors, yeah, for most of half the
yep.
season. So.
Good. What were the last 2 picks then?
Michael Juergens, another O-lineman, and then Levi Drake Rodriguez, D-lineman, which I don't know much about either one of those. You get in the 7th round, it's kind of... throw something at the wall, see what sticks.
Right.
But
so overall, let's give a grade to the Vikings draft. Mitchell, what grade would you give the Vikings this year?
For a grade, I probably would give them, I wouldn't give them any lower than a B. I want to wait until, I'm not giving them an A out the gate, but I'd give them a B for their draft.
Okay.
Yeah, B, B plus, just maybe a little less because they had to give up a lot to move up. But.
Huh.
And they didn't have a lot of picks.
I'm going A.
You're going A?
I thought it was a great first 2 picks. Awesome first 2 picks.
It could be. And if they both turn out, it'll be a great draft. Nobody will care what you gave up.
I said this a couple weeks ago in the pre-draft. If you look back in the history of the top 10 quarterbacks in each
mm-hmm.
draft,
mm-hmm.
and then they gave a graph of who's been successful, and Trevor Lawrence is the only one lately.
He's not that good either.
Yeah, and the others are... second, third string, and some are out of football.
Yeah.
And they got drafted in first round and top 5-10 picks.
We got one of them now, Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he just needed a new change of place.
Well, the problem, a lot of these top picks, they go to bad teams, bad coaches.
Right off the bat, yeah.
You know, and they don't have a chance. So.
Yeah. And that's what happened to the Chicago quarterback, I think. You know, watch what he does. And he's in Pittsburgh, right?
Yep. He'll probably back up Russell Wilson, though.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Russell.
Me, I'm not either. Are you a fan of Russell Wilson?
No.
I think, what's his name from the Bears?
Fields.
I think he'll...
Fields is talented. He just holds onto the ball too long.
Yep.
The Vikings were going to draft him. They wanted to trade up and draft Fields
okay.
when he was a rookie, but I forget what happened. That just didn't work out for him. Or I think the Bears beat him to it. I think that's how that
okay.
worked out.
Anything else on the draft before we want to talk about Brian's man cave here?
Well, they didn't really address the interior defensive line at all, which is kind of surprising, but still have a big hole there. And they still need a wide receiver 3, so I don't know what they're going to do there either.
A third wide receiver.
Maybe Tyler Boyd or somebody like that.
Who's the first two
receivers? They got
receivers?
Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson, and they got Brandon Powell, who played, he was solid for us when he had to get play because of injuries last year. And then Trent Sherfield's on the roster. Jalen Naylor is still on the roster, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have, it'll just be pretty much whoever wants to step up. They did, I did some looking for undrafted free agents. They signed 17 of them.
17?
Yep. And then they invited four more to mini camp.
Wow.
Invites. So
anybody local?
They had Brady Weeks, long snapper from Minnesota, the Gophers. He got a mini camp invite.
Oh.
And then So eight of the undrafted free agents were on the offensive side, and nine of them were on the defensive side. They did sign three receivers for undrafted free agents, and they got two defensive linemen for.
Maybe we'll find an Adam Thielen in there, huh?
Maybe, or an Ivan Pace, like we did last
Ivan
year.
Ivan Pace, yeah.
He was undrafted last year.
He was
year.
Undrafted, yeah.
I was kind of hoping we'd get that guard out of South Dakota State, but.
Oh, yeah.
Nathan McCormick.
Where did he go?
He went to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, okay.
They took a couple linemen, so they're. He's going to be good.
Yeah, the Jackrabbits, they had a couple of guys drafted, didn't they?
Yep, they had a couple. In
running back to Isaiah Davis.
He got drafted.
He went to he go to
New
Philly?
York. No, Philly?
I think he went to Philly, I think.
Mm-hmm. Not sure.
It?
Yeah, he went. No, nah.
Can't remember.
Isaiah
where he
Davis.
Went. Yep. Could have wrote it down, I guess.
Yeah,
but.
We'll get it sometime.
Again, on the SDSU and South Dakota State, North Dakota State, they also had a lot of players go as undrafted free agents.
Okay.
There were quite a few Gophers that actually went as undrafted free agents. Corey Crooms, a receiver, he is with the Cowboys. Brevin Spanford went undrafted. He got signed to the Cowboys roster. Touchdown Brady Weeks getting an invite to the Vikings camp. Tyler Newbin, he got drafted by the New York Giants. And then Kyler Baugh, he was signed by the New Orleans Saints. And then Chris Ottman-Bell received an invite to the New York Giants minicamp.
Wow. Good homework there, Mitchell.
Yep, and then another Minnesota, Trey Vavil, I believe, a defensive back from Minnesota State. He got signed by the Falcons, the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, wow.
As a undrafted free agent. So, yeah, quite a few Minnesota prospects got drafted signed on.
How about Elliott going back to the Cowboys?
Yeah,
did you see that?
Yeah.
That was a shocker.
Back to where it started.
Wow.
1 year in New England.
I think he's washed up.
Yeah, he
is. All right. Yeah, all right. Should we move on? Have we got it good there, Mitchell? Or?
Yeah, I think that pretty much.
All right. As I've been mentioning, I know everyone listening has been waiting for this description of Brian McKean's man cave here. That's where we're podcasting from today. Brian has quite the setup here of Viking memorabilia, and I mean quite the setup. It's very impressive. How long have we known each other, Brian? Long time.
Yeah, quite a while.
Yeah, this is my first time down here.
Yeah. Good.
Tommy Kramer's been down here.
Yes, and Ed McDaniel, summer.
Ed McDaniel was with them.
They were both here, yep.
Okay. They're just passing through, or?
Yeah, we're doing something in Gary. They had an appearance at the State Line of Bar, I think.
So what, Tommy Kramer? You don't have any Tommy Kramer, Viking?
I have one signed photo over there, but that was a little before my era, so I don't have a lot of old stuff. But
Tommy Kramer was one of my favorite Viking quarterbacks of all time. So
yeah, he's my brother's favorite, too. So
yep, cool.
I started watching in 1987, so
okay.
He was kind of at the tail end at that point. It was Wade Wilson when I started watching.
All right, Mitchell, you pipe in here with questions with Brian. But, Brian, tell us about how all this started here. When did you move into this house, and is this just kind of grown on you, getting all this Viking memorabilia?
Yeah, I've been here 11 years. It started a little bit before that, slowly. Only had a few things here and there. No game use stuff at that time. But
been a Viking fan all your life, then?
Yep. I love disappointment. But
everyone in Minnesota that loves sports
used
is used to disappointment.
Nothing can get me down anymore. But, yeah, it just started out small with, like, some figurines and some autographs, but kind of start getting more and more, and kind of turns into a not really a habit, but
a hobby.
Some people call it obsession. I don't know. Sickness.
Here's a question I'll ask for both of you. You talked about the disappointment. When did it, like, sink into you that being a Minnesota sports fan is just, you got to get used to disappointment. Like, when did the when was it no longer disappointing to you? Just, well, that's just Minnesota. Like, when did that
Gary Anderson missed the field goal to would have sent the Vikings to the Super Bowl in the Metrodome.
87, and they went to the NFC Championship game against the Redskins. Darren Nelson dropped the ball at the goal line. to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
But the,
and then the 98 missed kick. And then 41-0 in 2000 against the Giants.
Yeah, well, that one hurt, too.
And then Favre in 09.
Keep going.
And then, and then Blair Walsh in 2015.
And then, isn't it something?
And then the Eagles in 2017.
Isn't it something?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You got one, Mitchell?
Oh, let's see. I think the point where it all kind of flicked for me, where it was just like, yeah, that's just Vikings football, it was probably Blair Walsh's missed kick when they were in TCF Bank versus Seattle, and I think that was, the wild card or divisional?
Wild card. I was there.
It was,
you were there.
23 below Winchell.
Yep, 27.
Was that a chip shot?
27-yard field goal?
27-yarder.
27-yard.
And half the stadium thought he made it. Everybody started cheering. It's like, he missed it.
Yep, was the score? It was like 10-9.
Yep.
And he made three kicks prior, and then he gets a 27-yarder. It was on the left hash.
Hooked it left.
And he didn't push it right at all. It was left all the way, and they made a big deal. It was like, oh, the laces weren't away from him, and it can mess with the kicker. Well, I mean, I think they showed that the three previous kicks were all with the laces toward him. So it was,
and then Bridgewater blows his knee out the next off season.
Oh, yep.
That's right.
And we got a trade for Bradford. Then he plays one game the following year and hurts his knee and doesn't play the rest of the year.
We go to Case Keenum, though, I think, and that was when he went, 13-3?
Yep. Minneapolis Miracle.
The only thing I've learned is that the Vikings probably aren't going to go to the Super Bowl unless they get the one seed in division, because if they have to play on the road at all in the playoffs, it's pretty much been proven that they can't.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's get back to the K. Good question, Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go around the room. Just describe each article here, each thing. We don't have to go through all of them because we'll be here forever then, because you got a lot of stuff. Let's just go. We're sitting here in your man cave. You got a bunch of jerseys on mannequins here. Tell us about them.
Yep, and there's a couple behind you, too. Those are all game used. I bought them from fellow collectors. You kind of get a relationship over the years with people, know you're looking for stuff or you have stuff to sell. So I just keep adding.
So these are some of our worn jerseys in the game.
All but
and
two
who are they?
All of two of them are worn.
Talk about what jerseys they are.
So behind you, I got TJ Hockenson. That was worn last year in the whiteout game. Kyle Rudolph was worn in 2014. And then beside you there, you got Lieber and Greenway throwbacks. Kevin Williams and Mo Williams.
Yep.
And then behind
McDaniel
is Ed McDaniel, which I met him last year, got a picture with him holding it, and he signed a picture of him wearing it. So,
oh, wow.
Yep, and then over here we got Winfield. It's game-worn in the playoff game in 2010.
This is a full mannequin without the head.
Yep, full uniform, everything but the helmet.
The Winfield shoes, even.
Yep, those were worn against the Packers.
They're pink.
They were breast cancer awareness game in October of 2009.
I see he signed find them.
Yep.
So you got the shoes, it's his pants, too?
Yep, pants and jersey, socks.
Number 26.
Yep.
How about the gloves?
Nope, those were not his. I just put them on to make it look cool. So
it looks cool.
Then we got the last one over there is Matt Burke, was worn in 2007.
Now, you got that in the corner between your couches there.
Yep.
It's a full mannequin with a helmet, a Viking helmet on.
Which is also game worn, not by Burke, but it is game worn.
Okay, now where did you get the raincoat that's over them?
I bought that from the Vikings. They had a garage sale with a bunch of used items they were trying to clear out. So
okay, and then in the next room, there's more, folks. In the next room, you got stadium chairs.
Yep, I got my two dome seats for where I sat at the Metrodome for our season tickets, and then I have one from Met Stadium, which I'm not old
Met
enough.
Stadium.
I was never there, but I thought the chair was cool.
I was there many times. The old Met Stadium is the wooden seats.
Yep, the wooden seat.
Wooden seats.
Yep.
Awesome. And keep going.
And then my newest addition last week was a Metrodome trash can. So try telling your wife that you're buying a trash can.
And Crystal said what?
I don't know if I can repeat what she said. So you didn't take any pictures of me scrubbing it out last week, so that was good.
Okay, so you bought this. It's a huge trash can.
Yep.
It's nothing small. It's big.
Yep, it's metal, and it's got the Metrodome logo on the front. So.
And then you lit it up.
I put a light inside and made it light up. So.
Purple light, too.
Well, there's a blue liner in there, so I just put a light in
there. Oh, gotcha.
Yep.
Okay, that really looks sharp.
Yep.
Never would have thought of that. Get a
me
trash
neither.
Can.
I saw somebody had it online, so I stole the idea from there. Can't take all the credit.
And a lot of posters or framed posters of stuff.
Yep, a lot of signed stuff. I do a lot of autograph signings over the years. I like to meet the people that I get signed. So
okay.
I buy a few that are already signed, but I'd prefer to do it in person.
Okay. And talk about what's sitting here right in front of us. It's glowing. You got a head, a mannequin head that's glowing. What's that? With, with a headset
yep,
on it.
That's a headset worn by Mike Zimmer in 2015 for two games against the Broncos and the Chiefs. So, and I do have pictures of him wearing it, and it's autographed on the side. So that's pretty rare to find one of those.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And a couple game balls. This is hard for me to believe that football players will give up their game balls.
Yep.
Talk about that.
They got an Ed McDaniel game ball, I think from, is it 98 or 99? And then I have Stephon Diggs, NBC player of the game, Sunday Night Football from 2016 at the new stadium, first game. He gave it to his agent, from what I know, and his agent sold it, and eventually somebody sold it to me. So.
Okay. Now, you have a number of full-blown Viking helmets in a big case here. You got, well, there's four of them in that one case. Talk about that. They're all signed.
Yep, I got Kevin Williams.
They're real helmets.
Yep, Chad Greenway, Kevin Williams, and Kirk Cousins, and then I got a couple more down here. I got John Randall, Randy Moss, Chris Carter, and Fran Tarkenton.
Okay. Speaking of Randy Moss, one of my favorite posters is when he's mooning in Green Bay. Talk about that.
Yep, the Moss moon at Lambeau in 2005, probably one of my favorite moments in the playoffs. We beat him pretty badly, and he mooned him. And I actually have a little figurine of that moment, too. So
yeah, with the goalpost.
Yep.
Packers goalpost. That's pretty cool.
Yep, and I'm going to a Moss signing next month, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and you got a poster in the other room.
Yep.
In your third room. There's more, folks.
3D poster. I think they were from Burger King back in the day.
Oh, really?
I used to have one on my bedroom door, but I don't know what happened to it, so I had to go to eBay and buy
it. Okay, and the receivers under that poster?
Moss, Carter, and Reed.
Reed, okay.
Yep.
And you want to get all them signed?
Yep, and get it framed. So
amazing.
That's my next plan.
Okay, that's awesome. Great. Brian, this is amazing.
Yep, and I got a shuffleboard table there I had made from Woodford Shuffleboards in Sioux Falls.
You had this personally made?
Yep. So they made it, put the Viking logo, and kind of made it look like the field a little bit, the
wow.
end zones.
That's pretty cool. And the 3D U.S. Bank Stadium lit up
yep.
there, too.
Yep, I found that online. A lot of this stuff's online. But
okay.
And then the
wow.
Miller Lite Vikings sign I got. Didn't work, so I had to take it to Watertown and get it fixed.
Okay. But. Well, I'm going to ask you this. What's your favorite piece that you have here in your man cave here, Brian? And I'll ask Mitchell the same thing. Brian gave us a really good tour before we started our podcast here. So.
Well, I like me. I like all. The, yeah, I'm going to like saying her. So
Crystal comes in. Brian's wife says his favorite piece is okay.
Maybe the Winfield here, but
okay.
The Hawkinson one's probably kind of special because I asked for it on Twitter last year, and
he responded to you directly.
And I asked if I could have his jersey for Christmas, his game worn, and I made a little "Twas the Night Before Christmas" poem. I could show you that.
Yeah.
And he said if I got, I don't know how many retweets or whatever it was, but and then he sent me the jersey.
Yeah, and is that the game where he blew his knee out?
Yep. So he only wore it like two quarters, unfortunately. But
that's the game he blew his knee
yep,
out.
Yep, that was the last game he played. So.
And you had direct contact with him on Twitter.
Yep.
So he mailed it to you.
Yep.
And signed it.
Yep, I wasn't sure. He said I was going to get it, but it took about 8 weeks.
Oh, it did.
And all of a sudden, one day it showed up.
Oh, that's awesome. Great story.
So, yeah.
For you,
so good.
Yeah, for you that don't know, Brian is big on Twitter, and it's called...
The Vikeologist.
Vikeologist. And actually, someone asked me today if I knew the Vikeologist.
Oh, really? Who's
yep.
that?
Hawk from Fiesta City Liquor in Montevideo.
Okay.
Because he must follow you or something.
Probably.
Because how many followers do you have on Twitter?
I think just under 17,000.
Just under. I have, what, 1,000?
But that's been a long time. I've been on there like 14, 15
and
years.
And it's mostly all Viking fans?
Mostly, yep. There's a lot of news people that follow me. I'm not sure why, but they do.
Oh, local news people?
Yeah, like WCCO and
okay. The
news, Minneapolis News. And
awesome. Mitchell, what's your favorite piece after Brian gave us a tour?
Oh, it's probably
can't say Crystal either. So
no, but I'm gonna go. I have two of them actually. The pictures, the first one with Anthony Barr. That was when he sacked Aaron Rodgers and broke his collarbone. That was, kind of hate to say it, but
that makes Packers fans mad when you show them that picture.
Yeah, but it makes Vikings fans really happy, so it works out. And then the second picture with Randy Moss mooning Green Bay, that's probably, those two are my top favorite ones.
That's awesome. Well, I have a couple of them, but I love the Matt Burke full mannequin with the helmet on and the raincoat, or not a raincoat, but kind of a coat over him. That really looks sharp. It's huge.
It is.
And it's actual shoes, too.
Yep.
He's got some big feet.
He does. Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yep.
Not so much anymore. He's slimmed down a lot. But.
And I like the Metrodome chair. That brings back a lot of memories for me in the Metrodome chair. So just amazing. Just amazing. And it's kind of ongoing, too, right?
Oh, yeah. It's never ending.
How do you get rid of stuff?
Do you
get rid of stuff?
I did at first. Like,
you sell it then?
I would get some game-used jerseys, then you'd find something more you wanted, so you'd sell it or trade it. But not so much anymore. I pretty much, everything I have now, I'll probably keep forever.
All right.
Unless something crazy came along, like a Randy Moss game or something.
All right, Brian, this has been so much fun. Anything else you want to add? You want to talk about something else, Brian?
I'll just bring up three quick things here before we close up.
Yeah.
The Minnesota Lynx, their season starts on Friday, May 3rd, against the Chicago Sky. And then the Twins finally get above 500. They're on a 9-game winning streak.
As of today.
As of today.
Recording, yeah.
And now you can't watch them.
That's right, yep. They're off.
Midco lost them and Comcast, so.
Yep, they're.
If you have Midco or Comcast, the Twins are not on there anymore.
They're Bally
Sports Field. Because of contract, for issues.
So DirecTV and Fubo are the only two places you can watch them. So
wow.
They said like 8% of the people can watch them.
That's it.
Yeah.
So how are you supposed to get your fan base excited if you're not on TV?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They really fumbled the ball there.
Huge.
But, yep, the Twins are 3 games behind Cleveland now for the first spot in the Central, which is amazing.
After the bad start they had.
Yep.
Play the White Sox every game. They'll win the World Series.
So their record now is 16-13, and they Carlos Correa, I just saw yesterday he was playing. I don't know if he's been back for a while, but he's back from injury. And then I believe John Duran, our closing pitcher, he made his debut last night.
Yep,
okay.
Got a save.
We won 6-5 versus the White Sox. And then to close with this, the Timberwolves, they swept the Suns. Even though they went 0-3 versus Phoenix in the regular season, they swept them in the playoffs, and they will play the defending champion Denver Nuggets on Saturday in the Western Conference semifinals. And they're unfortunately might be without head coach Chris Finch because
That was odd.
Mike Conley, our point guard, had a collision with him in game 4 and ended
knee.
Up tore a patellar tendon in his right knee, I believe.
Did you see that?
I did, yes.
He's got to have surgery on it, and they don't know if he'll be able
done
to
today,
be.
I think.
Yep, I think so.
Oh, he should be able to coach on Saturday, though, huh?
They said they weren't sure if they were going to be able to have him at the sideline or not.
Oh.
So I would say the first game or two, they'll start in Denver.
Okay.
So I would assume for games 1 and probably 2, he might not be there, but I think he probably could be back for game 3 in Minnesota.
Okay.
Might be Mike Tice. Remember that happened to Mike Tice?
No.
He got hit on the sideline, and I think he tore his ACL.
Oh, now that you mention that, I think you're right.
Yeah, I don't know what year that was, but
2003
or 4.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that's hopefully the Timberwolves can keep
keep it going. I'm cheering. That's the only time I watch NBA is during the playoffs.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time I become a fan, so.
Yeah, me too.
All right, Brian, this has been just awesome to be in your Viking man cave here, and just a great time. Thanks for having us over.
You're welcome. Thanks for having
me. Yeah, and thanks to your wife, Crystal, too, for allowing this to happen.
I had to get permission from the boss.
Yeah, that's awesome. And she's pretty proud of what you're doing, too, huh?
I don't know. I think she is, but she won't admit it.
All right. right. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate
it. Thanks. See ya.
All right. This has been the Two Guys Weigh In podcast, episode 15, sponsored by PK Egan's and Canby.